This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
I promise no eclipse talk on this Monday morning. I'm not getting the goofy glasses. I'm not going to travel to Indianapolis to go to the Indy 500 and watch the sun stare. I'm going to go outside, I think, at whatever time it is, and I'm going to look at the sun.
2 o'clock.
See what happens. You know, take a chance. That's what Trump did at one of these eclipses. He went outside and looked right at the sun.
Yeah.
He didn't go blind.
It was one of the best pictures ever.
I'm going to see what happens. I'll report back tomorrow. If I go blind, I'll still be here. But I will report back and see. Tell you what I saw. These people, I mean, we know people are insane. You know, people chase hurricanes, tornadoes. But they're like wall-to-wall coverage. And they're just talking to these lunatics who travel from all over the world to look at the sun for 10 minutes. I mean, you got to have some, you got to have an empty life to do that. You really need a hobby. But there he is, Donald Trump, looking up at the eclipse. He recovered okay. He doesn't even wear reading glasses. Neither, I say this all the time, but neither candidate, 81-year-old Joe Biden and 77-year-old Donald Trump, neither of them will be seen in public with reading glasses, which they obviously need. They're so vain. But and nobody's as vain as Joe Biden. We'll get to that. We'll get to the transformation of Joe Biden physically, mentally, morally. It's something to behold. But we got lots of more important things to get to. I want to get to this this rally in Dearborn, Michigan, and explain to you why Joe Biden is doing everything to win back some of the worst people in the world. But I think we have to start today, Ironhead, with sports. Mm. Let's talk some sports. You know what kind of day I had yesterday? It was a great sports day. I was riveted to the women's championship game, Caitlin Clark versus the world. Didn't go well. Then I watched the golf and I was rooting for Denny McCarthy. And he had the most amazing back nine I've ever seen. He shot a 28, had like 7 or 8 birdies in a row. And then he had the most monumental choke in the playoff I think I've ever seen. He had a 100-yard wedge into the green on the playoff, and it came up 30 yards short into the water. The guy was amazing, clutch, just cool, and he just melted, and it was sad. Then I was watching like most people, I was watching the Korn Ferry Tour. And a friend of mine, Rob Oppenheim, 44 years old, he was in a playoff and he missed a 4-foot putt to lose. So I'm rolling here. And then I was rooting, of course, for the LA Angels against the Boston Red Sox, because all decent people root against the Red Sox. And the Red Sox won by like 20 runs. It was a tough day. I just sat there and lost everything. I mean, it was sad. And then we had to wait for the reaction from all the Caitlin Clark haters out there. Now, this is something to behold. She's the best women's player ever. Unfortunately for her, she happens to be white and kind of normal. You know, not big, you know, not particularly physically imposing. She's heterosexual. That's a problem, too. She has a boyfriend. He's the son of the men's coach. And they have a nice relationship. And she's just normal. Everything about her is normal. And the mean girls just can't take it. I think most of America was rooting for Caitlin Clark because she's a superstar. And she's a great story. And she's a phenomenal player. But the people they put on TV, which is mostly, you know, UConn players, former UConn players, they were all rooting hard for LSU. Angel Reese, somewhere, was rooting for LSU. Jemele Hill, Bomani Jones, Keith Olbermann, all the usual suspects, just wanted this girl to go down in flames. And she did. I mean, she had a good game. She had a phenomenal first quarter, first half. She had 18 points in the first quarter. She was out of this world for a while. And she's the only reason. It wasn't a, you know, 50-point blowout. I made the analogy once again to Larry Bird, because watching her play, is like watching Larry Bird play. Not, she shoots like him and she passes like him, but she just has a mind. She sees everything. She's one of the smartest players I've ever seen, which reminds me of Bird. This yesterday was another day, another game where she reminded me of Bird. Bird went to the finals, went to the championship game in 1979. He carried Indiana State to the championship game, faced Magic Johnson and Michigan State. They were just better, deeper, bigger, faster. Bird could only do so much. He lost his final, he was undefeated at the time, and he lost his final game. And it was sad. I was rooting for him, but just overwhelmed by superior talent. And that's what happened yesterday. If you had a draft and you drafted the two teams, South Carolina and Iowa, she'd be the first pick and they would be the next 10 picks. They had just better players, bigger. They had a 6'7" center who was dominant. They had wings that could run and shoot. And I don't know if Dawn Staley's the greatest coach in women's college basketball, but she is a great recruiter. She just gets better players and lets them play. And you know, the better team won. It wasn't even close. The better team won, which was great news for Diana Taurasi and all the UConn players who go on ESPN and analyze the game. They wanted the white girl to lose, pure and simple. They couldn't stand the thought of this average-looking white girl dominating their game. It was really kind of reprehensible. And they should have been celebrating her. She raised their game to heights no one's seen before. She got 12.8 million people to watch the semifinal against LSU. And we haven't got the numbers yet. They'll be in any moment. I'm going to guess 20 million people. 20 million, that's my guess, watched a girls' basketball game. And they did it for one reason. Caitlin Clark, the women on these panel shows, these ESPN shows, the analysts, the former players should be celebrating. I think if this were men, they would be celebrating. But for some reason, women get a little nasty, and they got a little nasty. Diana Taurasi, former UConn player, star, superstar, she goes on with Scott Van Pelt and says, she's in for a rude awakening when she gets to the WNBA. Reality is coming, says Diana Taurasi. You look superhuman playing against some 18-year-olds, but you're going to come play with some grown women that have been playing professional basketball for a long time. Reality is coming. First of all, not that many people are going to be watching Diana. And the ones who do are going to be watching for her. You should be grateful. When she gets, she's going to be the number one pick for Indiana. I believe it's called the Indiana Fever, which I wouldn't even know the name of that team. I wouldn't even know they had a team in Indiana if not for Caitlin Clark. And they want her to go to the NBA and just flame out. That's what they're hoping for, which is kind of, you know, disgusting when you think about it. I can't imagine players, men, saying that about a man. I haven't seen anybody say Zach Edey, he's gonna get dominated. Once he gets to the NBA and plays against real men, he's playing against 18-year-olds now. Well, she had a rude awakening yesterday because she played against real women, good women, big women in South Carolina. And they were thrilled to see the best player ever in their game struggle to get her shot off, to see her turn the ball over. They loved it, which is just embarrassing for these people. And I'll give Dawn Staley, the coach of South Carolina, credit because she called her one of the best players ever. And I guess she acknowledged that she raised the game up. She did all that after the game, after she won and won easily. She praised Caitlin Clark, which was good. But let's get to Staley. Before the game, this would be Saturday, off day. She sits down with the assembled media and take takes questions. And a guy from Outkick asked a very appropriate question, a timely question. It pissed off some of the other media members that he dare ask this question during the Final Four. When is he supposed to ask it? This is when all the media is there and they have access to her. And he asks a question that we've, you know, talked about many, many times. Do men belong in women's sports? Now, she knows the answer. As you can tell, we'll get to her response. She knows, of course, men don't belong in women's sports. Of course, Leah Thomas shouldn't have been swimming against women. Of course, CC Telfair, whatever his name is, shouldn't be running against girls, women, in women's track. I mean, everybody, every person, honest person knows that. They know it's insane. She has the best women players. If the other team had a man, she would have a problem with it. She will have a problem with it. See, I said this, I tweeted this. It's coming. It's inevitable. If you will allow women to play, men to play against women, it's going to happen. And this is the national champion now. This is one of the great coaches in the sport, one of the best ever in the sport. She played. She coaches now. She went undefeated and won the title. And she thinks, sure, if a man wants to play, I shouldn't say she thinks that. She doesn't think that, but she has no guts. She gave the politically correct answer. She gave the woke answer and said, yeah, let's let men play with women. Let's watch.
Dan Zakrzewski, Outkick coach, you just talked about, you know, what a massive weekend this is, obviously, for women's basketball, women's sports in general. One of the major issues facing women's sports right now is the debate, discussion topic about the inclusion of transgender athletes, biological males, in women's sports. I was wondering if you would tell me your position on that issue.
Damn, you got deep on me, didn't you? I'm under the opinion of if you're a woman, you should play. If you consider yourself a woman and you want to play sports or vice versa, you should be able to play. That's my opinion. You want me to go deeper?
Do you think transgender women should be able to participate?
That's your question you want basketball. Me to ask. I mean, you want to ask, so I'll give you that. Yes. Yes. So now the barnstorm of people are going to flood my timeline and be a distraction to me on one of the biggest days of our game. And I'm okay with that. I really am.
Well, she's not actually okay with it. She's blocking everybody who criticized her on Twitter. And she's not handling that well she shouldn't. I mean, this is, you know, one of the biggest names in the sport saying, yeah, let men play. Well, I got news for you, Don. If the other team, if Iowa or any other team in the tournament had men, you'd lose. We know that. Everybody knows that. Everyone knows men have an unfair advantage. They're bigger. They're stronger. They're men. She's going to change her tune as soon as there's a man on the other team. And she needed to step up here. She needed to show some courage and say, of course, men shouldn't play. Because this was opening the door right here. This is a very high profile moment, very big moment. And she didn't have the guts to say what we're all thinking, what we all know to be true, is that sports is about competition. It's about playing fair. There's a reason there's men and women, sports, men and women, NCAA basketball, because men are better. A good high school player, a man, would be better than most of her players, if not all her players. Zach Edey, if he said, you know, I think I'm a woman today, would dominate. It would be a joke. It would ruin her sport. And she doesn't care. And I got news for you. the president of the NCAA, we know him well, Charlie Baker, he is not going to show any courage on this, any leadership on this either. If this gets to his desk, he will do what she did. He will take the coward's way out and then say, sure, if someone says they're a woman, let them play. Then you have a problem. I'm looking forward to that day. I think when that happens, one thing will be for certain. They will get huge numbers, huge ratings, not every game, but to watch a man play against women, dominate women, the whole country will tune in. They will be offended, disgusted, but they'll watch. And what will you say then, Don? You think you'll say, sure, I'm of the opinion that if you think you're a woman, you can play? Oh, sure, 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 sure. She won this title because her team was physically superior to everyone else. It was a joke yesterday. Again, Kayla Clark, best player on the floor. But the rest of the, you take her away in Iowa. I mean, would
Dan Zakrzewski,
how badly Iowa would lose. And I'm looking forward to that day because I know Baker. I mean, Dawn Staley, I guess I give her credit for answering the question. The Iowa coach wouldn't even answer it. Just said, I'm not talking about that today. I'm focusing on the game. And, you know, maybe it was a smart move. Maybe she isn't getting bombarded with people on her social media, on her timeline, and blocking them. But Jason Whitlock had a very interesting idea for Caitlin Clark for her next step. Everybody assumes, we all assume, I think it's a done deal, that she's going to the WNBA and she's going to be the first pick in the draft. And she'll make good money. She'll have a lot of endorsements. She already does. She's already making good money. You see her in commercials. But he tweeted this, I think it was during the game, actually, before the game, as all the fallout from the critics, including this woman. I never heard the name before. Lynette Woodard. She's a former Kansas player. She's in her 60s now. And she said Kayla Clark didn't break her records. She said, I still have the records because Kayla Clark has the three-pointer. And the ball isn't as big as the ball she played with. I can't imagine. Well, you know, Pete Maravich isn't with us any longer, but Pete Maravich averaged 44 points a game at LSU. He never complained that he didn't have a three-pointer. If he did, he would average 50-something a game. But if someone broke his records, he didn't immediately stand up and say, it's not fair. They changed the rules. I mean, you can't just tip your cap, Lynette Woodard. This person, no one even knows who she is. They're only talking to her. They're only putting her on camera because of Caitlin Clark. And she was pissed, said, oh, no, it's not the same. She is a three-pointer. I still have the record. Just petty. So Whitlock writes, put that up on the screen again. Whitlock writes, comes up with an idea. Caitlin Clark should return to Iowa next season, make about $20 million in NIL money, retire from basketball, marry her boyfriend, and avoid the nastiness that awaits her in the NBA. I'm not joking. Now, this got a huge, huge reaction. 2.3 million views, 43,000 likes. Now, she's not going to do that, but she could. She could make a fortune going back to Iowa for a fifth year. By the way, Taurisi criticized her because she said she's breaking all these records in her fifth season. So Taurisi doesn't even know what she's talking about. She's only been in there 4 years. She's only 22. She didn't stay for a fifth year yet, but she could. Now that would be wild if she just said, I don't want to go play in the WNBA. I don't need you. You need me. I don't need you. It will be interesting. People will watch. More people will watch because of Caitlin Clark. She'll be everywhere. She'll be on, you know, Subway commercials and all. She'll be everywhere. She should be. She's the biggest star. She's the biggest draw. And the people benefiting, the people on the broadcast who had people watching because of her, don't like her because she's white and heterosexual and cocky. And she complains a little bit about to the refs, like they all do. But it was sad. I mean, the bench scoring, 36-0. Rebounding, 48 for South Carolina, 25 for Iowa. The South Carolina center was 6'7", Iowa center 6'2". It was just not fair. But it's over now. The Caitlin Clark phenomenon, at least at the college level, is over. Be curious. There she is, Lynette Woodard, complaining because Caitlin Clark has a three-pointer. And boy, does she take advantage of it. That was wild when they showed one of the three she nailed in the first half was 30.5 feet. 30.5 feet. Go out to a court today, Ironhead. Try to hit the rim from 30 feet. It's not easy. Just try to reach the rim from 30. She does it naturally. She's an incredible shooter. Incredible player, and she handled defeat with nothing but class. So good luck to Caitlin Clark, whatever you choose to do and the next step. And if you decide against going to the WNBA, I wouldn't blame you because they are, they're going to gang up on her. They're going to try to humiliate her. These are mean girls who are just jealous. All right. We got much more to get to. Again, we're keeping an eye on the eclipse. Did you get the glasses, Ironhead? Did you get those glasses?
No, I'm gonna trump it up as well and just stare right at it.
Just stare at it. What can happen? That's not real. You can't go blind. I'm going to test that theory, but we got to get to this Dearborn rally. And I want to get to my favorite Democrat. Everyone always says to me, you have anything good to say about Democrats? Yes, I do. I have something to say about my guy I've always liked. I mean, let's be honest. Always been a big fan of John Fetterman. Never more so than now. We'll tell you about that and more. But first,
excuse me.
We all know the stock market has seen unprecedented fluctuation over the past 3 years, and I'm just going to guess that's going to continue for at least another year. Well, silver has historically been considered a safe haven asset during times of market volatility. When uncertainty rises, investors often turn to precious metals like silver to preserve wealth and hedge against economic instability. The silver to gold ratio is at record levels. Gold is currently at an all-time high, whereas silver is below 50% of its all-time high. A ratio like this is unheard of and provides a great time to add silver to your collection. Well, CSN Mint has been providing certified U.S. Mint collectible coins and precious metals for over 20 years, and they are one of the most trusted names in numismatics. Explore CSN Mint's extensive catalog of bullion bars, coins, and numismatic collectibles. Whether you're a seasoned investor or a passionate collector, you'll find a diverse range of products to suit your needs and preferences. Rest assured that every product you purchase includes the original certificate of authenticity or is certified and graded by a third-party grader to ensure origin and purity. With CSN Mint, you can build your collection with confidence. If you're going to collect something, it might as well be money. So go to csnmint.com/Jerry and use promo code Jerry at checkout to get a free silver American Eagle over a $30 value with your purchase of $75 or more. All day, every day, we get to see what the Biden administration is doing in terms of foreign policy. We talked about it Friday at length, what they're doing, how they're selling out Israel, how they're pulling the rug out from our ally in the Middle East, in the middle of a war. They've changed their policy 6 months ago after the Hamas savages slaughtered 1,200 innocent Israelis, took another 200 hostage, including Americans. Joe Biden vowed he would have unwavering support. That's his word, unwavering support for Israel. Well, then the polls came out. He's running for re-election. We know that. He's losing. He's losing badly in Michigan. This is all you need to understand. Joe Biden can't win the White House in 2024 without Michigan. It has 16 electoral votes. He won by a little less than 3. Hillary Clinton, I was looking at the results from 2016. Trump won in 2016 by 0.2. That's 1/5 of 1%. It was razor thin. Trump needed it. Trump got it. Joe Biden needed it in 2020, and he won by 2.5 points. Well, the latest polls have Joe Biden losing Michigan by 8, not even close, and obviously losing the election, losing all the battleground states. I believe Pennsylvania might be tied, but the rest of them are in Trump's column. Joe Biden knows he can't win re-election without Michigan, and he can't win Michigan without the Muslim vote. So he has turned on Israel. He's ignored the hostages, including, again, Americans. This is unprecedented in American history that an American president would ignore Americans being held by Muslim savages in Gaza. Doesn't mention their names, doesn't even talk about the fact that there are American citizens being held. I tweeted out a picture over the weekend of a kid from New York, a Binghamton college student being held hostage. Just a normal American kid, probably a dual citizen. He's being held. He's being tortured. He might be dead. Biden doesn't mention him. No Democrats do, except my man there. But they had a rally, a big protest, another one, over the weekend in Dearborn. I need someone to explain to me. The FBI spending its time these days, and we've shown you some of the video, knocking on people's doors because of their Facebook messages. If you express hatred of Joe Biden on Facebook, you get a knock on your door from the FBI. Could you explain this? We know they've put Trump supporters in prison. We know that, January 6ers, including the great-great-grandmother who spent 10 minutes praying in the Capitol, Rebecca Lorenz. She's facing a year in prison. She just got convicted. The prosecutors have a 100% conviction rate for J6 defendants. They're going to put this great-grandmother in prison for a year. She was in the Capitol for 10 minutes. She prayed. She left. That's what they do with insurrectionists. Well, at this rally in Dearborn, and by the way, it wasn't the only one. There was one in Houston, too. There was one probably in all the really Muslim-dominated neighborhoods. And it wasn't just, don't elect Joe Biden. It wasn't just go Hamas, Israel bad, Hamas good. We see that everywhere. Hell, we see it on the campuses. We see it at Harvard. This was death to America. That's what they were saying, chanting in Dearborn, Michigan. And they're probably mostly American citizens, which makes you wonder, why did we let them in this country? Why did we give them citizenship? But they're denouncing the country where they, in which they live and work and we assume thrive. It's like a whole bunch of Ilhan Omars, just ingrates that want to destroy the country from within. I'm going to guess at this rally, the number of FBI agents, zero. The number of Democrats who will denounce this, zero. This is who Joe Biden is courting. This is who he is placating with his policies toward Israel right now. Let's watch these people. It's just something to see. Go ahead.
We've been asked in the past, why are our protests on the International Day of Quds, why are they so anti-America? Why don't we just focus more on Israel and not talk so much about America? Gaza has shown the entire world why these protests are so anti-America. Because it's the United States government that provides the funds for all of the atrocities that we just heard about. And this is why Imam Khomeini, who declared the International Day of Quds, this is why he would say to pour all of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America.
Death to America.
Malcolm X said, and I quote, We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth. It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth. And so when these fools ask us if Israel has a right to exist, the chant "Death to Israel" has become the most logical chant shouted across the world today.
Death to Israel.
Imam Khomeini recognized that Israel is an evil settler colonialist project. He realized it is a cancer. And he established this day. Israel, before this, brothers and sisters, was a sacred cow. Nobody could criticize Israel. Everybody was terrified of being anti-Semitic. Everybody was afraid of them. But now, the people of conscience very openly will criticize Israel. They recognize Israel for what it is. Israel is ISIS. They are Nazis, they are fascists, they are racist. The people of the world now know this.
Free Palestine! From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Little children to chant death to Israel and free Palestine. And, of course, from the river to the sea, which means wipe them out. How is this happening in America? I'll tell you how it's happened. You know, Democrats love to say our immigration system is broken. Well, it is, because we're allowing people to come into the country who hate it, who hate us. It's not Ellis Island. This is America Today, where Joe Biden flies them into the country, all over the country, and lets them go, and then expects them to vote for him. Well, they're not voting for him. They're turning on him, which is a little bit of poetic justice, I would say, to bend over backwards to placate these people who are chanting death to America in America. How did we get to this point? I mean, in the history of the world, how many countries allow people in there to say, America must be destroyed while standing on American soil? I would love to say we're the only country on earth allowing that, but they do in Europe too. Europe has fallen, or much of it has. You know, London has fallen. There's like 6,000 mosques under construction in Europe right now. There's a poll that came out, I think it's in the Independent, over the weekend. Only 1 in 4 Muslims in England think October 7th happened. Only 1 in 4, 25%, said October 7th, the massacre of 1,200 innocent Israelis, happened. This is like it's like a modern version of Holocaust denial. No, it didn't happen. They didn't. They videotaped it themselves with their GoPro cameras. They were proud of it. And now Muslims in the West say, nah, didn't happen. They made that up. This is why you can't negotiate. Hamas is not going to agree to a ceasefire, and they're not going to agree to a two-state solution, because they only have one solution in mind: destroy Israel, kill them all. Those are the people. Joe Biden, he's sending his surrogates to Michigan. He's been to Michigan. He's going to continue to go to Michigan to try to win back support for people who call this the rottenest country on earth, who say we're evil and we, not Israel, we must be destroyed. That's the most important group coalition in the Democrat Party right now. They must win back people who hate us and want us all dead. And the most amazing thing is how many Democrats are on board with this. You hear from them every day, saying, yeah, I mean, Bernie Sanders said we should not, and with Liz Warren, they don't want any arms going to Israel anymore. They don't want Israel to defend itself. Chuck Schumer, a Jewish guy from New York, has said he wants to remove their Benjamin Netanyahu now. not an election. He wants him out. He wants to undercut Israel in the middle of this war. And I know we've gone over this. We went over it in depth on Friday. But the idea that you're supposed to stop fighting this war because Hamas is using its civilians as shields and allowing, indeed hoping, its own civilians get killed so they can win support and they can get Joe Biden to do what they need done. It's just insane. This is absolutely insane. 6 months they've held the hostages, including Americans, and Joe Biden has flipped. The Biden administration has flipped. They're all anti-Israel now, just so they can win 16 electoral votes in one state. That is so cynical and sinister. And I hope they fail. God knows, I hope they fail. I hope these people stick to their guns, vote uncommitted, or vote Trump. Just get rid of Genocide Joe. Just sickening. But we're not here just to criticize. We're here to support, I shouldn't say support, I'd never vote for him, but we're here to acknowledge the guts, the courage of one Democrat. Guy I've always had a soft spot for, John Fetterman. I mean, to this day, it is amazing that he got elected. It's amazing that the voters of Pennsylvania made the choice. I know Dr. Oz was not a good candidate, but this guy had a stroke. He's got brain damage.
Oh, my God, really?
Top of that, he was a radical. He was a Bernie Sanders supporter. He is, you know, a pro-abortion fanatic. He checks most of the boxes for today's Democrat Party, but he refuses to flip and turn on Israel. Just refuses. And it's a remarkable thing to see when you realize everybody in his party is on board with this let's win back Dearborn approach. Not Fetterman. He's sticking to his guns. He's supporting Israel. Indeed, he's taunting the scum that has protested outside his office and demanded that we abandon Israel. He won't do it. I mean, I don't know what's left of his brain, but he's got balls. He has balls. Let's listen to, I believe he's with, was it Gayle King? Let's listen to Fetterman explain why he won't turn his back on Israel. Go ahead.
I think everybody wants Hamas destroyed, but I think the position Netanyahu seems to be taking, and I'm wondering how you feel about him these days, is that destroy Hamas at all costs. Mm. You know, they say many of the victims now are women and children, clearly very, very innocent. I know what you're saying, no life is better than the other. We understand that. But at what point do you say we have to come up with another strategy that at least keeps the innocent, the women and the children, safe?
Well, it very is important to minimize the kind of collateral damage and protecting civilization lives as well. And I would hope that Hamas decides to not starting to hide behind civilians and creating those circumstances that makes it even more difficult as well.
That seems to be their strategy too, Senator, to hide behind.
Yes. Yeah, that is their strategy. And now even in hospitals or in the tunnels and everything. And we also can't forget about the hostages as well, too. They've been now in custody now since October 7th. So it's an awful situation. And you don't have to agree. You don't have to agree with every leader's views. But, you know, we have an opportunity to stand with Israel in this situation. And that's what I've decided to do.
And that shouldn't take courage, but it does. There he is sitting. He's got his gym shorts and his hoodie. And he still, you know, struggles to put words together. But he's smart enough to know we can't turn our back on Israel. You know why? I've been reading about it. It's fascinating. He lives right near the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, where there was a massacre of 11 Jewish people in 2018. And apparently it really affected him. And he's been a big supporter, a friend of the Jewish people in Pennsylvania. And he's not going to just throw him out with the trash because his party needs to win Michigan. That is impressive. Hell, Pennsylvania has a lot of Jewish voters and he's standing with them. And he's not turning his back despite every single other Democrat doing just just making this political calculation and say, oh no, the aid workers died. Let's change policy while they're holding hostages, killing some of the hostages. And they want this. This is Hamas's strategy. Let's get civilians killed. Let's see if Americans get weak-kneed and turn on Israel. And it's working. Hell, they got the president. They got the Senate majority leader to flip. They just can't get this big lug, God bless them, to flip. All of them. AOC, of course, and the Squad, and Ayanna Pressley, and Liz Warren, and Ed Markey, and Bernie Sanders. They've all flipped. They don't care about the Americans held hostage right now. They don't care that Hamas uses civilians. Israel does everything in its power to protect innocent people in Gaza. They drop leaflets. They send out emails. They tell them where to go. They tell them the corridors to go through to get out of danger. They send in trucks, food trucks. And American and Democrats in America say they're starving Gazans. No, they're sending hundreds and hundreds of trucks with humanitarian aid. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They want that. That scumbag who was chanting death to America. They want him on their side. They want him on their team. So the hell with Israel. And it really is something to see. And fortunately, it doesn't appear to be working. 8 points in Michigan. That is devastating for Biden. I'm not sure he can flip it in the next 7 months. He's going to try. Get ready. I'm sorry for those Americans held in the tunnels being tortured. Joe Biden needs Dearborn. Tough break, kids. All right. We'll get to by the way, I watched the other night, it's called King Charles. That's Gayle King and Charles Barkley. I think it's, I don't even know what day, Friday. It is terrible. Charles Barkley and Gayle King together, and they just bring on, they had Stephen A. Smith, it wasn't bad. And they bring on Maggie Haberman, and they just, it's all cliches, and it's just terrible. They found a way to make Charles Barkley not entertaining. Put him with Gayle King and have him talk, you know, politics and have a live audience, fake laugh, but it's terrible. All right, speaking of terrible, we got a big day, big weekend for Don Lemon. we got to get to Don Lemon, who hates white men, not all white men. He really, really likes one white man, but the rest of us, he hates us. We're all terrorists. We'll get to that and more, but first.
Excuse me.
Is it too late for a New Year's resolution? Well, let me tell you, it doesn't matter. 2024 is the year you will stop your hair from premature thinning and you'll achieve your goal quickly and for years to come. The new Provia Hair Thinning Therapy from Chamonix is here and it works wonders for follicle health and thinning hair. The Provia secret is a powerful natural ingredient called Procapil that effectively targets the three main causes of premature hair thinning and loss. By supporting healthy scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and healthy hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head and less in the shower. Effective for men and women of any age and safe for colored, treated, and styled hair, it's that easy. And new customers save over 50% plus shipping on Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/Callahan. Every package includes a 60-day supply of Provia serum plus Provia Super Concentrate for faster and more noticeable results. You get Provia's Perfect Beard Treatment or Provia Eyelash Enhancing Serum as your exclusive free gift at checkout. Don't wait. Your full, thick hair starts today. Provia works or you get 100% of your money back. Order now and save an extra 10% at proviahair.com/Callahan. That's proviahair.com/Callahan. All right, quick congratulations to Don Lemon. Not for his show on X, Don Lemon Show. That has completely collapsed. Nobody's watching. Nobody's listening. As I predicted, he can't handle a solo effort without writers typing up everything and put in his teleprompter. By the way, his interview with Musk, which was huge, was fact-checked And Don Lemon was wrong about everything. You know, he's wrong about DEI, and every other assertion he made with Musk has been debunked. But let's watch first Don Lemon on CNN a couple of years ago telling you about the most dangerous threat facing America today. Go ahead.
Realize the biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right, to the right. And we have to start doing something about them. There is no travel ban on them. There is no ban on, you know, they had the Muslim ban. There is no white guy ban. So what do we do about that? So
the biggest threat in America today is white men radicalized. I guess he hasn't seen the video from Dearborn or Houston or any of the other rallies for a Day of Cuds, a holiday in Iran. I guess he hasn't seen the thousands of Americans, including, by the way, college students rooting for Hamas and chanting death to America, death to Israel. Oh, here's Don Lemon over the weekend. He got married. I don't know. Can you confirm this, Iron? Is that, what race would you call the lucky guy?
I'm going to go with as white as it gets, actually.
He's whiter than I am, and he's now Don Lemon's husband. And there's Don with his poodles and his husband. And he posted the video, by the way, of him walking down the street in New York, and everyone cheering. Very, very happy day for Don. Doesn't really have a job, but he's got a husband now. And he's a white man, a dangerous white man. One more thing I wanted to mention. This went under the radar. And it's, I mean, I had to read this thing twice. You want to know how deep the anti-Semitism in the Biden administration goes at this point? I mean, it's new. It wasn't, you know, policy 6 months ago, but it is now. Check this out. This is from Fox News. The Biden administration is considering requiring labels on imported goods made by Israel settlers living in the West Bank, according to the Financial Times. According to the report, the Biden administration hasn't determined the timing of the move or issued its final approval. They want a label. It says the administration views the label requirement as a means of ratcheting up pressure on Israel to tamp down violence against settlers in the West Bank, as well as to show frustration with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government amid the war in Gaza. They're going to label goods. I don't know what the label is going to be. I'm thinking a star, maybe a yellow star. Goods manufactured in Israel are going to be labeled so to help his supporters in the United States boycott. They're going to label, say, this is Jewish. This is Jewish. It's happening everywhere. In Harvard, they have a wall. It's called the Apartheid Wall, where you post messages, anti-Israel messages, you know, anti-Semitic at Harvard. It has 24-hour guards guarding it so nobody takes down any of the posters or covers up any of the slogans, the anti-Israel, anti-American slogans. They wouldn't allow a guard to guard their display during Hanukkah, the menorah. They had to take that down at the end of every day, put it back up. Couldn't leave it out there at night, couldn't guard it. But this they can guard. Harvard has become the hotbed for anti-Semitism in the administration, in the faculty, in among the students, a hotbed for anti-Semitism like many colleges. The only one who's done it right was the president of Vanderbilt. You know, that we showed you the protest where the girl called the cops because her friend wanted to change her tampon. Mm-hmm. We showed you these freedom fighters who occupied an administration building. They're being kicked out of school by the president who came up big. That is real courage in 2024. At Harvard, no, you don't face any penalty for outright explicit anti-Semitism. That's the way it works in most colleges, but not at Vanderbilt. Credit to that woman who said, see you later, punks. We don't need you here on our campus. Good for her, but not going to see that at Harvard. But all right, any updates on the eclipse, Ironhead? I'm really excited.
It's still about to loom over us, Jerry, and it's going to blind us from everything I've researched.
Do we have time for this Biden clip? This is just amazing.
Which one?
let's do this before we go here. Just it kind of captures the shallowness of the president. This is a man with no convictions. Just he has no soul. We've gone over it before. He's just a cynical political creature. There's two things that stand out in this clip. The performative way he defends marriage. He used to be a outward, vocal opponent of gay marriage. You know, this big champion of LGBTQ rights. This guy who had transgender people taking off their tops and on the White House lawn. You know, that guy who filled his staff with radical LGBTQ activists like Rachel Levine and Sam Brinton. This is a few years ago, but check out, first of all, if you're watching along, this is the same guy, I think, who's now 81 years old and running for re-election. Has any actress in Hollywood, any model in Paris had as much work done as Joe Biden? I mean, this is an old man who's had more work done on his face and teeth and hair. He's got fake hair, fake teeth, fake face. I mean, he's had everything lifted and injected. Maybe John Kerry has had more work, but not many people have had this kind of work done. But let's listen to him talking to Tim Russert a few years ago, the same guy who's out there lighting up the White House and with the gay pride flag and the gay pride colors like every other day. This is a guy who celebrated Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter Sunday with a presidential proclamation. Let's listen how he sounded a couple of years ago. Go ahead.
The president used his radio address yesterday and tomorrow in the Rose Garden to talk about a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage.
You know, think about this. The world's going to Hades in a handbasket. We are desperately concerned about the circumstance relating to avian flu. We don't have enough vaccines. We don't have enough police officers. And we're going to debate the next 3 weeks, I'm told, gay marriage, a flag amendment, and God only knows what else. I can't believe the American people can't see through this. We already have a law. The Defense of Marriage Act, where we've all voted, not where I voted and others said, look, marriage is between a man and a woman, and states must respect that. Nobody's violated that law. There's been no challenge to that law. Why do we need a constitutional amendment? Marriage is between a man and a woman. What's the game going on here?
Yeah, and that's a man with real convictions, you know. And John Fetterman is 10 times the man of Joe Biden, and he's got, you know, half a brain, but he's got convictions. He's got morals. He's got real, you know, real feeling. This guy's got nothing, just an empty vessel. It's really amazing. And, you know, I don't know, 75 million people are going to vote for him to keep him in office. And I mean, even if he were 50 years old, how could anyone support that guy, that squish, just flipping in the wind? There he is today. Different guy, different face, different everything.
Everything's just different.
Amazing. But that'll do it for today. Big Eclipse Monday. I'm going to go out and stare at the sun. You do the same, Ironhead. We'll report back tomorrow, see how we do.
I think so.
But thanks to everyone for listening. Thank you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
But I'm going to go to bed.